Yeah. So, you know, say what you want about Eric Clapton right now. I totally get that. But, you know, Eric Clapton, he tells a story about going to see Jimi Hendrix for the first time. And I think he went with Pete Best. And, no. He went, by the end of the show, they ended up holding hands because they were like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And from what I understand, anytime anybody who's ever seen Jimi Hendrix play, whether they be a master themselves, was like, what is that guy doing? Oh.
Savant. Savant level.
Yeah. Dude out of Seattle, pretty awesome guy.
Yeah.
It's not Pete Best. Totally derailed all of the trains of thought that I had. Either way, you're listening to us. You're listening to us right now.
We're taking a train from tangent to tangent today on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7.
Pete Townsend. Why do I get Pete Best and Pete? It's freaking Pete Townsend.
There you go. It came
I'm like, the Who. I'm like, I know it's the freaking Who. Do you watch This Is Us at all?
I do not.
First episode, she spent the... Mandy Moore spent the whole episode trying to remember the word caboose. She's having memory issues. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that just hit home for me. But she's actually got Alzheimer's or losing her. She's got a brain plaque in her brain type of thing. I just have too many things going on. But luckily, this is one of the first days I've had where I feel like, oh, I'm actually back. Cause I don't know if anyone knows that I was out with COVID for a good week or so. Mm-hmm. And then a good week of since then.
Yeah.
And today I actually feel like a person again. I'm a real boy. It's really nice.
So I'm glad to hear it.
I can actually think again, but I still forget things like Pete Best, Pete Townsend. And from what I understand, being past the 40 line, it's going to go downhill from here. So good for me and good for you guys mostly because I'm going to be having a ball. You guys will have to deal with me. Anyway.
We get to hear all the rambling tangents that you provide on this great show.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'd like to go off on another one right now. So I was over at the... Waukesha Studios today working on some things. I'll be tweaking there in the morning. Come say hi if you want to. I saw Joel Clayfish walk by right on the street. I'm like, I gave him a wave and he waved back. He's like, hey, what's up? And walked away. And I realized, I'm like, he's just saying hi to a guy.
Right. Somebody saw him. They were waving at him.
I'm like, all right, cool. Because I don't know if you know this, Joel used to work for this entity when it was a different station out in the first entity of this in,
first iteration
in,
yeah
first iteration out in the Milwaukee and he had a show with Joe Casta Zamarripa and Joel and Joe Casta, and they both went back and forth over issues and that type of thing. So I was the board op for them, so I get to know him pretty well, and he also won my heart by giving me some wild turkey with gravy, and it was delicious. And some
he won your stomach, and then your stomach
some braised
your heart.
Venison. Well, I can't. I'm biased now. I'm permanently biased because the dude made me food and thought of
and it was good
thought
food,
enough to bring me food. It was delicious, and I'm still thinking about it. I completely disagree with him on a lot of things politically, but dude will always be at least. He's always cordial enough to have a conversation and not necessarily, we disagree on things, but we're not trying to get the best of each other. We're just trying to have a conversation.
Well, those friendships are important as well.
Yeah. And my point is when I can vehemently disagree with his wife for governor, I can see him as a really good father and a nice guy. I want to be able to, in my perfect world of utopianism, we can all do this type of thing and we can all have this kind of relationship with people. But again, it's hard. There's a lot of things out there that are like, why is this even happening? You know, how does this go down? And it led me down the thought process of, especially with knowing that Steinicke is out. You know, I jokingly said, are we going to try and win that seat? Thinking that, we can or can't. Well, how are you? What would it take? Because I can only speak from my point of view. What would it take for you or me or someone on the left-leaning side to vote Republican? What would it take for you to go and even consider going, you know, that person might actually be good for the state? What would it take for that to happen?
Are we asking it rhetorically, or do you
it's
want
rhetorically
because
I don't I mean, I'd love to have a real answer. Right. I got into this with Donald Trump, but my with Donald Trump wasn't necessarily completely, totally because of Republicanism. I want actual reasonable Republicans to balance out the, you know, we need a balanced system. It was designed to be a balanced, a system of checks and balances in general. And whether you can complain about the two-party rule and all that stuff, I completely get that. My point is that's what's going on right now. That's what the reality of it is. And for that two-party system to work, you need actual, the two of them to work together in government. It used to be that, you know, you let people get their appointments when they're in power.
Mm-hmm.
You let people get their, and then when you're in power, you get your appointments, that type of thing. The Democrats did that even with Trump sometimes, even though they pushed back on the really hard, bad ones. Most of them got through without much of a fuss.
Yeah, well, the whole premise in early 2017, when Trump was forming his cabinet and there was a lot of uncertainty. This guy had never done it before.
Yeah.
And the things that I always heard on the right side of the arguments were from conservative friends, family members, things of that nature. Well, like him or hate him, he's the president. And if we all fail, or if he fails, we all fail. He's running the government now. And I understand that. And I was like, okay, well, all right, fine. And he didn't really have a whole large track record. He had a lot of rhetoric that he said, and I agree. I didn't get into politics because of Trump. I was already
I started working here during that time.
Right, and I can understand that. And I was going to school leading up to that. Like I was finishing college when the 2015-2016 campaign trail was happening. That was my final year in school, and I had no expectation when I decided that that's the path that I wanted to go down, that was where things were going. And I don't necessarily know, I guess, because for me, I haven't seen a Republican leadership model that would be able to win my vote in any regard, because everything that they've done since I've been a voting adult has not agreed with anything that I believe in. And so it would be very hard for me to go into a voting booth and pull the trigger for somebody that claims to be conservative, but then they can't explain the train situation to me still. I don't get it, other than it is solely politics, and they defaulted on a contract and lost the state $60 million, and we don't have high-speed rail to this day. This was over a decade ago, but you can't explain to me why we don't have high-speed rail, other than like, oh, well, the Democrat wanted it and did that agreement, but we didn't like it, so we didn't take it through in good faith.
Or it gets really simple and it's like, people like cars, not trains.
Yeah.
Well,
but I like a train.
I
would like a train. I would ride in the train. So that argument is negated by people being like, oh, well, if given the choice, people are going to take the cars. And I'm sorry, if you live in Chicago, L.A., New York, any of these.
Not L.A.
Large city. Well,
not L.A.
There's some forms of. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's definitely public transit, but it is not good.
Right.
But that was forced upon us. And that was a political thing. And that was a, you know, people rode the roads. And for whatever reason now, not only is there horrible traffic, but all the roads in L.A.
Tried driving on
east and
I-5.
West,
yeah.
And the sun is in your eyes at all time.
And it makes no sense that. That other than the fact that they want to say there was a politics thing, that the train didn't come. And so for me, it's really hard to answer. So I jokingly answer, well, they could write me a check, I guess. And that's how, you know, if somebody wanted to gain my vote, and obviously this is illegal, and I'm not saying any of the campaign should do this, but I don't know what could be done. I would love to be an adult when Tommy Thompson was the face of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, but he's not. I'm dealing with the hand that I'm dealt right now, and Republicans are not giving me any good options.
So just if you want to, you know, a little bit of a preview, what could happen? Look at Glenn Youngkin in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He just put in a mandate that you can't teach critical race theory, and he put in a mandate that says you can opt out of school masking if you want. It's a free country.
And that's what Republicans
executive
are
offering, order I guess. Immediately.
Yeah. As soon as, and it's not even that you can't teach critical
race
theory.
Are they complaining about abuse of power with that when they do an executive order?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't believe so.
Because they agree with it. Oh, it's fine.
Yes, it's okay when it's an executive order that they agree with. But at the same time, he didn't ban critical race theory in that executive order. He banned divisive topics because he admitted on the campaign trail that critical race theory isn't actually a thing.
He said that's what he's talking about in his executive order.
I don't know, Brian. Do you think that the Revolutionary War, depending on who you're asking, I guess, do you believe that the Revolutionary War was divisive? Because apparently that might be banned now in Virginia schools from Youngkin's latest executive order as well.
Aren't these the folks who complain that we were snowflakes for being offended by things?
Aren't these the folks that claim local control, that you shouldn't be able to dictate what teachers are teaching in the classroom?
These are the same people who go and complain that, oh, Obama's lied and said you can keep your doctor. I'm like, well, you lied and said that there would be death panels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not even get to address that part, or are you just going to move on and forget that you were lying beforehand?
No, I mean, because they make split decisions in the moment and then hope that they never are held accountable anymore for the comments that they put on the record circumstances change in the future.
But my point is, I'm trying to reconcile the person I see, which is a good, decent dude, and from all things that I've seen and from knowing the dude, Joel Clayfish, decent guy in person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to reconcile that with the party he's working for and with and what they're doing at this point.
The party that he puts behind his name when he used to be on the ballot.
Yeah. And that's where I got to this point. And if you guys could give me anything, I'd love to hear it. What would it take for you to even consider voting Republican? What would it take? Because, again, the next obvious step is, well, you know, are you upset with the Dems? Because we do Dem bashing here, yeah, too. We're kind of like, why are you dragging your feet with this? Why is this not more of a priority?
Why are you so scared of power after the
you have power now. Yeah. Why don't you do something? Yeah. Or are you afraid that, you know, if you do something, you don't have anything to run on?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, is it a political decision? I don't know.
And you can give us a call. Let us know what you think. 844-967-2789.
Let's go to Dick in Madison and see what he has to say.
Well, Citizens United started all this in my mind. There's no question about that. But when you were talking about the trains earlier, at least give the Republicans their credit. They've created great things for other upper Midwestern states with all this stuff going to them instead of us. And then now they've went international. That's great.
Yeah, well, they did.
Isn't that something to aspire to?
Yeah, well, don't forget the tax siphon that is Foxconn. That basically siphons our money and sends it to a different country.
Going on that real quickly to Foxconn and talking about Clayfish running for governor, you know, I think it was Biden that said he summed up Giuliani when he ran for president. A noun, a verb, and 9/11. A noun, a verb, and Foxconn. Just keep throwing that in her face nonstop. That's what they need to do. Because when you sift through all the horrible things that's done to the state money-wise and all the things that we could have had that would have been up and running, say, about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. No, I believe the trains were scheduled to start running in 2014. 2014, 2015. It would be 7 or 8 years.
Which would mean they would be running
years
around 2016, yeah, 2017. Probably. But still, it would have been running already.
Yeah,
and then I told you the story about a brother, ex-brother-in-law of mine. Well, I don't know anything about that. It's just there's nothing I can't. When I go to Milwaukee, I get in my car, it's not a problem, you know, for business. And I said, well, excuse me, can you work on your laptop when you're driving down the freeway?
Except when people complain about Summerfest traffic, State Fair traffic, Brewers traffic,
right,
Bucks traffic, all the traffic, right, when you would have a high-capacity event, then they complain about traffic and say, oh, Milwaukee's terrible, and we got to spend $1 billion to expand I-94, where for less than that cost, we could have paid for the high-speed rail corridor from Chicago to Milwaukee to Madison to Minneapolis.
And then maybe we could fix the roads, you know, maybe that are up north instead of the ones that we keep refixing over and over again.
Right, just the four-lane expansion that the state legislature then authorized for Foxconn to use from Chicago to Milwaukee because Foxconn requested that. And so rather than that be the infrastructure that we're focused on as a state, I would really like the ability for the public to use some public transportation like a high-speed rail.
We see a hole in there. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back on Dueling Tangents.